The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Well, take your copy of God's Word, and I invite you to turn to two places with me today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Today, as I mentioned to you at the beginning of our service, that we are in a series entitled, Don't Be Anxious. This has been a pause from our ongoing series through the Gospel of John. But we felt that it was important for us as a church to put a pause in the series in John to really look at some truths from God's words to help our hearts not be anxious. We are going through many things in our lives as citizens of this country and this world of all that's going on. But when we began this series 2 weeks ago, little did we know, nor did I know or any of us know, that this second week into this series that we would be actually facing a major hurricane. But yet God is good in His sovereign plan. The intention of this weekend's service was to be looking at Philippians 4, 5 through 9. In Philippians 5, or chapter 4, verses 5 through 9, we see where Paul really encourages our hearts to not be anxious about anything. And we're going to look at that passage of Scripture in great detail next week. But I felt it's fitting to take one portion of that passage of Scripture this morning just to look at the text. And then we're going to look at this truth and apply that and look at a story in Mark chapter 4 where there actually is a storm where the apostles are in and Jesus is there. And I think that we can see some of the very principles from Philippians 4 and look at it in the apostles' life where they actually didn't do it very well. Sometimes we can learn examples from things that are done well, and we can also learn examples from things when they're not done well to learn what we need to do even in our lives. So yes, this moment that we are literally facing a physical storm called a hurricane. But nevertheless, we can use this even in a symbolic way if we want to think about it, that many of us may have storms of our lives that we're going through. And so today I want to encourage your hearts as we look at this passage of Scripture to be reminded that God is in the midst of the storm and that we don't have to be fearful. That doesn't mean that we are ignorant to the realities of this physical storm or any storm, but yet we can see where God is giving us promises of how to handle, how to walk through, how to deal with storms. And it is just as what you see there on the screen, that we need to have faith, not fear, in the storm. I want to remind you that as we go through this, that when we talk about anxiety and different struggles, last week when we started the series, we looked at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said three times, do not be anxious. He doesn't give it as a suggestion. He tells us there in a commanding way, don't be anxious. And I know that many of us struggle and have things that we may be anxious about. Let me just remind you that when we looked last week at that passage of Scripture, I told you there's several different types of anxieties that people experience. One is situational anxiety. That is things that come up that causes us to be anxious. A second one is clinical anxiety. People may have physiological reasons that they may have anxiety. And there's self-inflicted anxiety. People do things and decisions that they've made, and then they have some things that make them anxious because of their decisions that they've made. Also, there's a reality now in the world that we live in, and this thing called COVID that can have an effect for some people, anxiousness, but then there's also spiritual warfare anxiety we talked about, and then just unexplainable anxiety that people have. And then we look at this very thing that we have. You say, well, where does this hurricane fit in? It really fits in that first category of situational anxiety. It is a situation that is happening even as we speak. And for some people, it may be your first one that you've gone through. But for some of us who were here a long time ago, this weekend is the 16th anniversary of one major storm called Hurricane Katrina. And for some people, when they've gone through some major crises, if it is a major death, for example, in a family and another death comes along, it stimulates some of those very same issues. And this very storm may be doing some of those very things for some of you. And so today I want to just encourage you as we look at this passage of Scripture in regards to where is God in the midst of this. As we look at this, what can we hang on to So whether you've bunkered down and you've stayed here and you are ready and prepared, or whether you're in travel right now, or whether you've already made it to your location, we want to encourage your hearts today from what God says. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to begin with. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to just focus on verse 6, and then we're going to just pull a few things from here, but we're really going to unpack that more so next week. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul, as he wrote to the church at Philippi, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Now here we see Paul reflecting almost the very same thing that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "Do not be anxious." And here we see Paul saying the very same thing. Do not be anxious about anything. Anything. You, whatever you have on your list, many of you, we were moved quite literally and just emotionally and just overwhelmed by last week's responses. We saw many of you place those response cards on the stage and wrote down some very burdensome things on your heart. And all those things that you wrote down fit in this particular very word. Anything. Whatever it was you wrote fits right here. Don't be anxious about anything. So even a storm fits into that. And that's challenging for some of us to hear that passage of Scripture. Say, how is that possible to live out that reality of not being anxious about you fill in the blank? But Paul is telling us the very same thing that Jesus told us of what we are to do. When you're leaving in this moment or you're bunkered down, many times it brings the worry about people. What's this going to do for our homes or our yards or our cars or our jobs? And it's just this domino effect for many people. And you're worried about those things. And I'm not saying that we don't need to be concerned, but it does remind us in this passage of Scripture that we're not to be anxious. But we have to understand and say, what does this mean? This issue, even as I thought about this week and even responding to someone's text and says, how are we doing? And my response is that for many people and all that's already going on in the world, this is just one more thing to be added on to. It's just like these waves of difficulty that people feel, just one more wave to come on. But I want to encourage you that if you feel like you can't even keep your head above water, you feel like it's just multiple waves, maybe you've got a lot going on already in your life, that God knows, God cares, and He's here. And so I want to remind you of a God truth. The God truth that we learned last week, which is going to be true for all of these sermons that we're going to talk about in anxiety. We saw it in Matthew 6. We're going to see it here even today. And it's this. Number one, and we say it's a God truth. What I mean by that is that when we're studying the Scriptures and we're really unpacking the truths, we see what is true about God. It is not necessarily stated in these ways, but it's a characteristic about God that we can pull from the text and we can say, okay, here's a God truth that I can apply in my life regardless of what my situation is. And the first aspect is God is our Heavenly Father and He loves us and is in control of our needs. So if you're still lingering and holding on to some of those things, for those of you who were here last week or you watched last week and you're thinking about those things, you're holding on to that first truth that God loves us and He is in control of our needs. Even this week, in the midst of this storm, God loves us and He's in control. But the second truth that we learned back in Matthew 6, when He says that we are not to be anxious about things, we learned that we are to pray about things and we say, okay, I can do only what I can do. And I have to trust God's power to do what He can do to accomplish what and when He wants to do it. Think about that truth. We can only do what we can do, then we have to rest in what only God can do, when and what He wants to do. Even in the midst of this week and as we sit and as we prepare, this is the same thing. We can only do what we can do, then we have to trust in God's sovereign power to be in control. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, you say, well, where does that fit in this particular passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Well, this passage of Scripture that is here is almost addressing some of these very same things, because what can we do even in the moments of some large storm or whatever, a physical storm or a literal storm or a symbolic storm in your life? And He tells us right here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Notice the contrast that Paul makes. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the method of approach that Paul is telling us, rather than being anxious about things, let your requests be made known to God. Now he tells us, how do you make that request known to Him? He says it's through prayer and supplication. Now, next week, as we gather again, Lord willing, we're going to unpack not just this verse, but all of this paragraph and the next paragraph. And we're going to talk about the difference between prayer and supplication and what that means. But for the sake of simplicity today, I just want you to understand this truth is, rather than being anxious, Paul tells us, is that we turn it over and let our requests be made known to God. Anxiety is the very opposite of the second God truth. In anxiety, from these situational anxieties, it is us trying to do everything we can do, and we try to solve it all, rather than handing it over to God. Paul is saying here that we want to hand it over to Him. Let your requests be made known to God. And let me clarify that to you. That does not mean that God doesn't already know it. He already knows it. He already knows what you're anxious over. He knows what you're worried about. He knows what your needs are. So it's literally, when Paul is saying, let your requests be made known to Him, you're acknowledging to Him what He already knows, and you're acknowledging your need for Him. So you're living out that second God truth. You're saying, God, I can do what only I can do, and that's praying about this, and I give this to You. And that's exactly what Paul is encouraging us to do. Not to be anxious, but to then let your requests be made known to God. Now today what I want to do is I want to take just this particular truth and I want to show you a biblical illustration where this was not lived out well. We're going to look at the apostle's life in a situation where they're literally in a boat caught in a storm and they have Christ right there with them, but yet they're not living out this truth very well. So turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And I want us to look at this story in verse 35 through verses 41. Now in this story, let me kind of give you the context that's here, is that Jesus has been in Capernaum. Capernaum was where His hometown was. Yes, He was there in Nazareth, but then in His ministry days, He lived in Capernaum. So He'd been doing some ministry there. His family didn't accept Him. They rejected Him. So then He's doing some more miracles and work around the Sea of Galilee. After He's been at the Sea of Galilee doing some teaching, one of the things He had done is He had got into a boat to teach. And then after He had done that, He got His disciples together and says, hey, let's go to the other side. Now, Jesus has been doing lots of things at this time. He's been doing ministry. He's been talking to people. And now He's going to get in the boat and says, let's go to the other side. That's where we pick up in the story. Now, we're going to read this whole paragraph. Then we're going to go back. And I want to point out to you some truths today in regards to this element of faith and fear. And did the apostles actually live out this aspect of not being anxious? If we want to substitute this word of anxiousness and fear, then we can actually see the connection here. Jesus is going to challenge the apostles about their fear or their anxiety of the storm that's around them. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, you plug in whatever it is. We're looking at a physical storm in this passage of Scripture. And whatever you have in your life that you're still anxious over, I want you to hear what Jesus says to them. And I want you to think about your own life and ask, okay, what do I need to change in the way I'm addressing this situation? What do I need to change about how I'm talking to God about my situation? And am I filled with fear or am I filled with faith in regards to this particular thing that I am anxious over? And it might be the very storm that's barreling down over us, or it may be another storm of your life. This still applies. Let's read the text together. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through verse 41. On that day when evening had come, He said to them, meaning the apostles, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat just as He was. And other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And He awoke and He rebuked the wind and sea and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even wind and see, obey Him? Now there's a few truths that I want to pull out of here, four truths from this passage of Scripture that I want to give you today. And then after I give you these four truths, then I want to actually give some application of this passage of Scripture when we think about how does this apply to our lives and how does God relate to us in the midst of the storms that we may be going through. Because I just want to tell you from the very beginning that as a follower of the Lord, we're not guaranteed that we're going to have a life of no storms. In fact, that we may go through not just these physical storms I'm talking about that we are experiencing this weekend, but some storms of life that we may very much go through. But here's the first truth that I want you to see in this passage of Scripture. Remember, is that Jesus is saying to him, hey, let's go the other side, and they get in the boat with him. So let me kind of help you to understand in verse 36 what it means. Look at the text again, and it says, they leave the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Now, what that means is Jesus is already in the boat. He was in the boat teaching these people. So when they say that they're joining him just as he was, he didn't have to go get in the boat. Basically, the disciples are joining him because Jesus is encouraging them. Let's go to the other side. But here's the first truth that I want you to see in relationship to storms. This storm, whatever storm that you go in, number one, the storm came for them even though the disciples followed Jesus. Now think about what I'm saying here. Jesus invited them into the boat and they're about to experience a great storm. The waves are coming into the boat, but it wasn't because that this was a storm out of discipline. Oftentimes I think when we go through storms of life, we immediately may think, what have I done wrong that this storm is coming into my life? This is a physical storm that they're experiencing, but they're doing this, they're experiencing this simply because Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. Jesus invited them into the boat, which means Jesus very much knows what's coming ahead. He knows if he indeed is God, as we know that very truth because of our series that we're studying in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. Jesus himself is God. So it's no surprise to Jesus that this is going to happen. It's a surprise to the disciples because they're not God. They don't know it. But here's what I want you to understand. They are following Jesus. They're being obedient to Jesus, and because of their obedience, they're getting in the boat. They're going to experience a literal storm. We, as believers and followers of Jesus, in our obedience to the Lord, this very truth, if we were to take another God truth from this, we could be able to say following God in obedience may very much lead us into a storm. But if we think about that same God truth, that he loves us and he's in control of our needs, then we have to understand that in our obedience, he knows what's going to happen before it even happens to us. So we can rest in that. From this very passage of Scripture, we know that it was not something new to this area, though. Let's make sure that we understand. This is the Sea of Galilee that they're at. And the Sea of Galilee in the northern part of Israel and these high mountains, it was normal for them to be able to experience storms there. Remember, some of these apostles indeed were also fishermen. So this was not the first time that they would have experienced that. We realize, so if they're going through this particular thing, so they don't immediately say, oh, what did we do wrong? They don't turn around and say that. This is not like a Jonah story. This is not a Jonah story, as in the prophet in the Old Testament, where things got out of control, and when Jonah was on the boat and there was a storm, that was a storm as a result of Jonah's disobedience. God did use that storm to get the attention of Jonah. This is different. This is something that they were being obedient to God, and then the storm came. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're following the Lord and you're trying to be obedient, you're trying to spend time in his word, you're trying to live righteously, you're trying to honor him with all of your life, and if storms are coming your way, whatever that storm may be, if that's a storm of relationships, a storm of finances, a storm of employment, a storm of physical disabilities or struggles, it's not a direct result always of disobedience. But what I want to encourage you is this: God knows your storm. And even Jesus was very aware of this storm. But here's what's also important, though, is if we see in this passage of Scripture, even though that Jesus had called them into the boat, the second truth that I want to see is this: Jesus never gets anxious about the storms. If you look at this passage of Scripture again, if you look and the storm is coming, look at verse 37, 38. Notice where Jesus is. What's Jesus' response? What is his attitude? We see very clearly in verse 37. A great windstorm arose. The waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already feeling. This is not just some little wave that's just coming over and barely makes the deck wet. If it's the way this is being described here in the language by Mark, I mean, it's the waves are filling the boat. This is a pretty big storm. That this is waves that are crashing over. They're being anxious because it's definitely in regards to causing a great turmoil and struggle. But where is Jesus? Verse 38. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. Now the stern is the back of the boat. So Jesus is the back of the boat and he's asleep. Now that would probably be very difficult, I think, for most of us. This would probably cause motion sickness for some people if it's being descriptive the way that it is. If the waves, if it's a windstorm, this is pretty tumultuous. I mean, these are winds are blowing, probably got some white caps that's going on, the waves are pulling in, and Jesus is back there knocked out. But all the apostles are trying to struggle. If you can imagine, if maybe they're trying to row, maybe if they had a sail, they're trying to pull it down. We don't know what all's going on, but they're struggling in this moment. And what is their response? They're filled with anxiousness and fear. How do we know that? Because notice what Jesus said to them again down in verse 40. Look at verse 40. Jesus said to them, why are you so what? Afraid. So we know that when Jesus rises up, when he gets up, they have wakened him. Jesus is in the boat and Jesus isn't anxious at all. When Jesus wakes up, he doesn't freak out. Jesus is not having some kind of stressful moment. When Jesus gets up, he sees the attitude. He sees the behavior of the apostles. And yet he will rebuke the winds. He will rebuke the waves to calm it down for the sake of this moment. But Jesus isn't anxious. You say, how is it possible for him? Yes, he's fully God, he's fully man, but let me remind you that every atom of this world, not A-D-A-M, but A-T-O-M, every atom, every nucleus, every particular small thing that ever has been created, Christ is the one who created those things. John chapter 1, verse 3, that nothing was made without him. All things were made through him. So this wind, this waves, the wood that the boat's made of, it's all under his command. He's the one who controls it all. So he's not anxious about any of it. So if you take that first truth and you plug it into the second truth and you plug it into your own life and you think about the storms of your life, you can say very well, if you're following the Lord and you're his disciple, he's not anxious and you're looking at your stuff and how many times you may wake up in the middle of the night anxious or worried about something. You wake up in the morning, you're worried about something. God's not anxious. It's good that we have a God who's not anxious over the things that we face, that we look at, because we know he's in control of all things. These particular disciples, they are definitely struggling. And the third truth I want you to see from this passage of Scripture is this. Our storms that we go through will reveal our fear or our anxiety or our faith. It is the struggles of life and the difficulties is where we will grow in our walk with the Lord, or it will show whether or not we actually have a walk with the Lord. And if we do have a walk with the Lord, it will show us whether we have a lot of faith or whether we are filled with fear. And we see in this moment that the storm that came, these apostles had been walking with the Lord for a very short time, not a very long time by this particular chronological element of the life of Jesus. And this storm revealed where they were. Now, they've seen Jesus do some pretty amazing things. I mean, what does Jesus say to them? You say, well, is anxiety always related to a lack of faith? If anxiety, of situational anxiety, not some of the other things that we've talked about, but situations that come, both Matthew 6 and both Philippians 4, and even what we see here in Mark chapter 4, is that the anxieties of life, which means that we're trying to handle them on our own and not trusting in the Lord, can be a lack of faith. Jesus himself says here, he says there in verse 40, have you still no faith? Now, why did Jesus have to say that to them? I mean, if you were to just take a quick cursory look, and I wouldn't challenge you to do this even today after you listen to this, if you just go back and just, you're only in chapter 4, if you just read the first three chapters, you will see some of the miracles Jesus has performed in his ministry, and the apostles have observed it. What are some of those things? In chapter 1, verse 21, Jesus cleanses a man that was possessed by a demonic spirit. And so Jesus is saying, do you not have faith? You saw that. Chapter 1, verse 30, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Have you no faith? You saw that. Chapter 1, verse 40, Jesus healed a leper. You have no faith? Did you not see that? Chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus healed a man paralyzed that was lying on a mat. Chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. Chapter 3, verse 20, when Jesus goes to his hometown, people gathered for healing. So all these things his apostles have seen, but yet they're lacking faith. It's amazing how in the moment of difficulty, sometimes we have amnesia to forget of all that God has done in the past. Practically, what some of you may need to do, what we all probably need to do in the moments of great difficulties or storms, and maybe even in this storm that we are facing right now, and you may be thinking, can we make it through this? Just look back 16 years ago. It was tragic. It was difficult, but God was faithful. What are storms of your life that you may be going through right now? Maybe it's a health issue. Look back over your past and ask, how has God been faithful to you financially? What storm that you've gone through, that you are struggling right now to have the faith to believe that God's going to get you through. Maybe you're being anxious, and maybe your faith is not where it once was, and you look back and you say, did God get you through? And you can say, yes, because God was there. He was faithful. So our storms will reveal our fear or our faith. This doesn't mean that you can't have the faith that you need. It just reveals where we are. And so my encouragement to you today is, if you're beginning to be filled more with great anxiety or worry or some kind of struggle that you're going through, just as a believer, if you are a believer, you might just need to take a pen and paper, or whether it's on your laptop or on your cell phone, and just begin to write down where God was faithful. And that's actually a pattern that we see even in the Old Testament, especially actually in the Psalms, when we'll see some of the psalmists recount the faithfulness of God to remind them in the moments of fear, anxiety, to hang on to the God who has been there for them. But I want you to see a response that happens here at the end of this passage of Scripture. It definitely caused some fear or some anxiousness on their part. But I want you to notice what Jesus does here. When Jesus speaks, he doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't rebuke them first. He does rebuke them, but he rebukes the wind and he rebukes the sea. I want you to think about that. What would happen if Jesus just rebuked the wind? Well, the sea is in relationship to the wind. If Jesus rebukes the wind's still blowing. So Jesus addresses both of the needs that are there. He knows what's causing the anxiousness. He rebukes those. And then when he says to them, why are you so afraid? It is Jesus now rebuking them. Now remember, I said that this passage of Scripture demonstrates for us Philippians 4, 6, not done the right way. Remember, Paul says in Philippians 4, 6, don't be anxious, but let your requests be made known to God. So did the apostles let their requests be made known to God of their anxiousness? Because obviously Jesus has said that they were fearful. Well, look back and let's see, did they do it? Look back at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Well, if we just take that and plug it in the blank and we say, okay, they let the request be made known to God. They asked Jesus, hey, don't you care? But the matter of this text is also the tone in which they address Jesus. This is not them waking up and saying, Jesus, we've got an issue. The tone of this passage of Scripture is one that they're more rebuking Jesus than laying their request to the Lord. This is more like them saying, hey, don't you care about us? You seem to have forgotten that we're over here. That's kind of the tone that we see in this passage of Scripture. This is not what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but let your requests and supplications be made known to God with thanksgiving. This doesn't sound very thankful. This doesn't sound like they are giving their requests to God. This sounds more like what some of us may do when we get frustrated with God, when things may not be going our way and we might be anxious about them. So rather than praying still, maybe instead of being patient and letting our requests be made known to God, we're getting aggravated towards God. We're getting frustrated towards us. Like, God, don't you see that I'm struggling in this situation? God, haven't you seen me begging you for all these moments? And that's kind of the tone that we see here. Probably many of us have probably been guilty of having that type of tone with the Lord rather than humbly laying down our request before God. Maybe you're tired because you've been praying about the same thing for a long period of time and you're wondering if God is paying attention or if God even knows. And we see in this passage of Scripture that Jesus was very aware of the storm. He addressed the storm. He rebuked the storm. But He did rebuke them. Why are you so afraid? So Jesus calls them out in regards to where they were. So Jesus calmed the storm. And it leads us to our last point that I want you to see from this passage. The storms that we often face and that God allows can cause a holy fear. Now I want to explain what I mean by that passage of Scripture, but I want you to see it in this passage. So let's kind of recap what has happened in this situation. These apostles have been in the storm, and they see the storm that's happening. They followed the Lord, and there is a literal storm that's taking place. It's not because of their disobedience that they're there. And Jesus is not anxious about the storm. And then although then the storm now revealed that they actually lack faith, even though they saw lots of things. And then they're laying their petition before God, but they're blaming Him that He's not being awake. They didn't care about them. And so Jesus rebukes the storm. He rebukes them. But it leads to a proper response. Notice verse 41. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey Him?" This fear is different than the fear of the storm. It's two different types of fear. The first fear is one that they are afraid of the massiveness, the chaos of the storm. And then they saw Jesus. We don't exactly know how it took place, but all we know is that when they wake Him up, He rebukes the waves, He rebukes the sea, and then there is great calm. But what we do know in this, after that moment, it says they had great fear. What are they fearful of? There's no storm anymore. There's no great waves. There's no water crashing into the boat. What are they fearful of? They're now standing before the holy God that's there in the boat, and they realize this one who's in front of them, Jesus, that they followed as Messiah, they recognize that He is God because He's controlling the waves and the winds. And so they're fearful. They're recognizing. When you see this description of fear throughout the New Testament and even the Old Testament for that matter, it happens when someone realizes they're in the presence of God. And I want you to think about this. Their storm that they went through, even though they had the lack of faith, and God used this to purge them, to reveal to them. And it was as a result of walking through the storm and then Jesus resolving the storm that it caused their fear, the reverence, if we want to put faith here in this particular term here, their faith increased because they made it through the storm and they saw God's faithfulness through the storm. That is true of our lives. When we look at passages like this and we look even at our own lives, at when we walk through storms, it's difficult. But this reminds me even of the text in Psalm 23 when David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." This was a valley for them. This was a dark moment for them. It's a storm that caused great fear, but yet the fear went from the fear of the storm to an almighty fear of God because God calmed the storm. Some of you may be walking through storms or in storms of your own life, and you're ready for the storm to be over. You would love for God just to say, "Peace, be still." And oh, how I wish that would be the case for those of you who are in the storms that you're going through. But none of us know all of what God is doing. We look at someone's life and we see maybe in your own life and you see the struggle and you're thinking, "Oh Lord, how much longer?" But I want to encourage you that God's still there in the storm with you. And He will walk you through. And He's refining your faith. And so as a result of this, of this passage of Scripture, I want to just give you some application points of how do you apply this text and faith and trusting in God, and where is God in the midst of all of these things, even with this storm that's coming and even in the storms of life. Number one, God may rebuke us for our own personal frustrations towards Him when things don't go our way in our storms of life. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, in this very passage of Scripture, we saw where the disciples, they kind of rebuked Jesus. Hey, where are you? You not care about us? Now, God is so gracious to us, more than we deserve. And God's big enough to handle your frustrations. God's big enough to handle your discontentedness of what's going on. But sometimes God may have to set us in our place if we're this perpetual complaining. We see here that God rebuked them, says, oh, your little faith, come on, where's your faith? We see the same thing in Job's life. In the book of Job, where Job started out and he was in such a, some people hold him in such high esteem. But if you read the book of Job, you actually realize by the end, Job is ready to be able to have a meeting with God. And then I'm going to paraphrase it. And he says something like, well, if I have a meeting with God, I'm going to just let him know what it is. And he gets a meeting with God. And God begins to lay out all of these claims. Says, Job, where were you when I hung the moon and the stars? Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, where were you when I cut the deep caverns of the sea? Job, where were you? And he goes on and on and on and on. So God is rebuking him because of Job's complaint towards God. And Job's response after that, he says, I'll put my hand over my mouth and I will say nothing more. I'm not here to discourage you from pouring out your heart to God. Oh, pour out your heart to God, but do what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your requests be made known to God, prayer and supplication. Lay it before Him, but submit it to Him that He's a sovereign God who loves you and cares for you. Because we don't understand His timing doesn't mean that God is not there and that God does not care. Lay it before Him. Another example is in John chapter 11. After Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, had died. And Jesus shows up and Mary runs to Jesus. But Jesus, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. How many of us have maybe thought the very same thing? God, if you just jumped a little bit sooner, if you'd done something quicker, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus is very gentle and gracious to Mary. And he says, but Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He spoke truth to her. But let me show you a second way to apply this passage of Scripture. Number two, God may be silent to you in the storm, but the silence does not mean that God is not in control. The storm was raging for these apostles who were in this boat. Literally, Jesus was there. Now, that's different for our lives because we don't have the literal embodiment of Jesus with us in the storm. But if you are a believer in Christ, you are filled with God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, and He is with you. So if you're pouring out your heart to Him and you're walking through that deep, dark shadow, that deep, dark storm, and you're wondering, where are you, God? And you don't feel like there's an answer. I just want to encourage you that the silence doesn't mean that He isn't there or doesn't care. It could be that God is doing something that you cannot see. Maybe something more beautiful than we can even imagine, that He's going to get us through that storm. But trust that God is with you. Number three, how do you apply this? God may leave the storms in our lives to refine and grow our faith. We see in this particular moment, I have to wonder that in this moment, that when Jesus asked His apostles in verse 35 to come with me in the boat, I have to believe that Jesus knows a storm is coming, and knowing that this is going to be a storm producing faith moment in their lives. You say this, you mean God may take us through difficulties? Absolutely. God may take us through difficulties or use the difficulties of our lives in order that our faith can actually grow. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 3 actually says these words, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials," or I'll insert the word "storms" of various kinds, "for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." God may leave the storms in our lives. So when you're saying, "God, take the storm," it may be silence. "God took the storms," it may be silence, because it may be that God is using the storm to refine us. Number four, God may leave the storm in our lives to prove to us that He is God. So in the same token that He may be refining us, it may be that He's using the storm to show us that He is God. Meaning the storm may get worse. The storm may get better, because we see even this very moment that from this moment what we learned is that the apostles realized that Jesus was God. For you see, prior to this, the miracles that they saw Jesus perform, they had not seen Him calm a wave. They had not seen Him calm a storm. But they'd seen Him heal people. They'd seen Him cast out demons. But this was a first. So some of you may have been walked through, you say, "Well, I've gone through enough storms, I don't need any more." Our faith is not going to be refined until the point that we actually see Him in glory. Our faith all needs refining. And it could very well be that God may leave certain storms in our lives that He can be able to prove to us, and in that fact, actually to the world, that He's God in our lives. So what do you do with this passage of Scripture? I think that some of you in this who are listening today, you might need to think through some of these very same things. And you need to be reminded of these very truths that we've just said. And some of you may just be practically, number one, just be worried about the storm that's coming this weekend. And you're just filled with fear. You're filled with anxiety. You say, what do? You trust. You go back to the very first God truth. You trust. You do it only with what you can do. And then you have to trust for God to do only what He can do. And that means we just pray and we trust. But where are you in the storm? Maybe you have a storm that's in your life right now that you feel that you are walking through alone. And maybe you feel like that God is silent. He's not there. Maybe this morning it is just realizing and reclaiming that faith again, not letting the fear override the faith. You say, "God, I know You're there. Even though I may not hear You or see You, I believe You are there." And just claiming that once again. And then just asking for God to help you hang on. Number three, maybe today as you even listen to this, you may be going through storms of your life, and you may realize that you yourself, you've been trying to do it all on your own, and you've realized that through this, you desperately need Jesus Christ even as your own Savior, because you cannot make it on your own. I encourage you and I invite you, I plead with you today, that you would give your own life to Jesus and let Him be the one who is your sovereign King to help you. If you were to ask any believer who's a part of this church, they would tell you that just because you're a follower of Jesus does not mean there are not storms, but He is the one who walks with us through the storms. We see it here, even in this passage of Scripture. These disciples follow Jesus. They have a storm, but God is with them through the storm. So my encouragement to you as someone who is looking at Christianity, thinking about following God, I invite you to the very one who is the God over the storm, who can save you. Because there's going to be a final storm at the end of this world. A final time where you're going to stand before God. And no storm of this world is going to compare to that. You need to make certain that you have your life ready for the end. You will give your life to Christ now. That's my encouragement to you. And so for those of you who are watching today, because we're not physically here to do any kind of physical response, in just a moment, we're going to have a time where Andrew and Liz will come and lead in a time where we'll just have music playing where you can be able to respond to the Lord. And it may be that you have some anxieties that you want to lay back down and just verbalize that to Him. And then we're going to sing together and claim that the one that we trust to, that we have faith in, that He's still there. But today, if you are watching and you say, "Man, I just need to talk to someone," there's a number that we use. It's a short code number that we have here at the church. It's 94000. And you can text the word CHURCHINFO, all one word, church info, no spaces. And when you text that word church info to 94,000, it's going to offer you some ways that you can respond. Whether you need to follow Jesus, whether you need counseling, whether you need prayer, you can choose those. And you select those and then we will get notified. Even though that people are scattered all over, you can just message us and we will get back to you as soon as we possibly can. We don't want you to have to walk your road, your storm alone. We cannot take the place of God, but we can be brothers and sisters in Christ to help you along the journey. So I'm going to pray, and during that time, Andrew and Liz are going to come. And we're going to give you time just in this quiet moment where you can just respond to whatever it is that God has moved in you and stirred in you, whatever your struggle is, whatever you're anxious over, whatever fear is overcoming you rather than faith. We encourage you to lay it down. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for your word from Philippians 4. We thank you for your word from Mark 4. You teach us to be anxious for nothing, and that we are to let our requests be made known to you. God, we see in Mark chapter 4 where these apostles, your apostles, you led them into the boat where there was a storm, not out of disobedience, but because they were just following you. But they were filled with fear, anxiety, and not faith. The storm revealed where their faith was. But yet you were able to calm the storm, rebuke them, and then they bowed and were fearful of you. God, people who are a part of this church and those who are listening today may be going through storms. We know that we're about to go through a physical storm, but we know that there are different types of storms that people go through. So, Lord, I pray for the believer who may be discouraged today, who has felt that they are alone in the storm, that they felt that you are silent. Remind them today that your silence does not mean that you are not in control. Remind them that you very much are. But God, if there is someone who's in the storm and you're wanting to use that to refine them, then God, I pray that you would make us willing to just receive whatever refining that you need to do. But Lord, if there's any who are listening today and maybe that they have not had the right attitude towards you, maybe that they're laying their requests down to you has not just been with thanksgiving. Maybe it's turned to frustration. Maybe it's turned to anger. Maybe it's turned to bitterness. And today they need to lay that down as well and ask for forgiveness and say, oh God, I have not had the right attitude of putting my request before you. And today might be a new chapter for them to lay down their frustrations and to be able to trust that you are God in the storm with them. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that even though sometimes when we're in storms of life, then we cannot see, we cannot feel, we cannot hear, that yet you still are there. So now, Lord, in this time, as people will just ponder and respond, I pray, God, that if there are any who are just heavy with anxiousness and fear, that they would lay it down. We would live out that truth that we've been saying last week and through this series, is that we will do all that we can do, but yet we will trust in you to do all that you can do when and what you want to do. So now, Lord, in this time of response, speak to hearts. Let us lay it down before you. In Jesus' name we pray. As they play quietly, we'll give you an opportunity just to respond. So I just encourage you to make wherever space that you are a matter of just worship and prayer right now. And then whatever you want to lay down to Him, pray over and just give it to Him. Then after a period of time, Andrew will just lead us in response and just sing these great truths that Jesus truly is the Ancient of Days. So take some time now to pray. If it is you want to text us your needs to that number, 94,000, then you do that now. Let that be your time of way of response. So we can join with you and pray that God will help you to have faith and not fear. your story.